Sorry about that. So we have been in this whole series in the book of James. And for those that maybe you haven't been here in a while, we've been in this whole series in the book of James, probably been in it for about, 10 weeks or better. And James is the brother of Jesus, right? And so the church is still this experimental melting pot of all kinds of nationalities and people groups, and all of a sudden women are being used, and normally that's not the case, right? I feel like I'm a little loud too. If you could maybe turn me down just a little bit. Am I being bossy this morning? My goodness. Sorry. But anyway, I just felt like I was, woo. But anyway, so you're seeing this melting pot, the church, it's an experiment, right? And so on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he preached. 3,000 people came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And all of these 3,000 people need a place to go. And so they started creating these house churches all over the place. And so the gospel was spreading like wildfire, but so was dissension. So was false teaching and so forth. And James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this letter. And so back in those days, when one of the disciples stood up to preach, they would read a letter. And so this letter would be passed around to all the different churches, and they would read the letters. And so this is what James is doing. And he is saying this to the church. He said, listen, even though this is an experimental thing and this church is new and it's spreading like crazy, here are some things that I see that we need to change. And he begins to talk about maturity. And we have been through about 10 or 11 weeks concerning some of the things that James has been talking about. And last week we talked about our tongue and how that it can direct. It has the power to direct. How many of you guys remember that? We called it this three-part series, Troublemaker, and it's about the tongue. And it has the power to direct. Remember last week I talked about the triple filtered test? And it goes something like this. If somebody comes at you and they got something juicy they want to tell you, not quite sure if it's true or not. Now it's more like, hey, this is something I posted on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Not sure if it's true or not, but here it is. Want to give it to you. And we look at these things and we put them through a filter. It's called the triple filter test. First filter is it true? Right? Is it true? Is it worth getting all riled up about? Is it true? Number two, is it good? Is it kind? Or is the center point to malign somebody else? Lastly, is this information useful and is it necessary for me? Those are the three filters upon which we filter information in our life. And the power of the tongue has the ability to guide and to steer and to direct. And James used a rudder last week and a bit for a horse, and how that steers, that a rudder and a bit is small, but it steers large things, right? Sometimes our mouths are writing checks that we cannot cash, right? That our bodies cannot cash. And it's important to understand that sometimes our tongue gets us in a situation that causes our entire body to defend itself. You ever been in that spot before? You don't have to answer because I know you have. But so James, if you would turn with me to James chapter 3, we're going to go through verses 6 and 8. So James also talks about the tongue as has the power to destroy, okay? So James said this. He said, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Man, James is being awfully dramatic, right? right? He says the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the entire person, setting the whole course of his life on fire and itself set on fire by hell. And then he goes on to say, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by men, but no man, everybody say that with me, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Again, hyperdrama, right? But James is trying to give a vivid illustration about the power of our rhetoric, the power of our speech, the power of our verbiage, the power of our intent. If you've been married long enough, the power of a look. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. So today I want to focus on the tongue having the power to destroy. So to get this point across, James uses the example of fire, and he talks about wild animals, all right? It doesn't take much to spark a fire, does it? When I was a kid, I was with a buddy that there was a sage field. You guys could probably tell where I'm going with this. And my buddy thought it would be cool to see if he could set a little section on fire right here. And so he grabbed a lighter from the house, and I was no better. I didn't have the lighter, but I was egging him on. So he lit a little piece of sage grass, and he set it down, and it happened to be windy that day. And instantly, I knew we were in trouble, because it didn't just burn that little section. It set the whole field on fire. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a fire or been in a place where your house has burned, or you've been around something that a fire that was getting out of control, but my little 12-year-old frame was shaking in my Converse sneakers. And I've never felt more helpless in my entire life than in that moment watching something get out of control. The fire department had to be called in. And when the fire department's called in, you're going to jail. Like, you're never going to be seen again. You're going to a black ops place where they're going to erase your social security number. You're never going to be heard of again. You're going to be a folktale in that community. Remember that kid that did this, right? And I felt hopeless and helpless, and the fire department came. Obviously, my buddy got in trouble, and I blamed him for everything. Friend, if you're watching, I'm sorry. But it only takes a spark to get things out of control. There was a fire reportedly started in the O'Leary barn in Chicago at 8:30 p.m. October 8, 1871. And because of that fire, it spread over the entirety of Chicago. Over 100,000 people were left homeless. 17,500 buildings completely destroyed. And it cost the city of Chicago in 1871 $400 million to rebuild. All because of a spark. All because of one little flame. Our words can start fires. Proverbs 26, verse 20 through 21, it says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. There are people in some churches who refuse to control their tongues. They feel like they have something they need to say, and it's from God, maybe. Being a little facetious here. And it winds up being destructive. The wrong words can heat things up even quicker. King David said, and see if you can relate to this. And I love how Scripture shows the dark side of its heroes, don't you? I love that because I relate to the dark side, right? How many of you guys can relate to that? this morning. We all can. David said this. He said, "My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated," and we would say today, stew, right? "My heart grew hot within me, and as I stewed, the fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue." How many of you guys know that that's never good, right? It's never good. Even counting to 50 doesn't seem to get it sometimes, depending on how hot it is, how hot our heart is, and how long we've been stewing on this. But David was being, he was being transparent. He said, "My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, the fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue." So a hot head and a hot heart can lead to burning words that later we will ultimately regret. Right? We've been stewing on it. The words in our head are coming up. Conversations are happening. We are living in that Hypotheticalville that I talked about last week. You are now the mayor of Hypotheticalville. That conversation in reality will probably never happen, but because we're stewing over it over and over and over again, it becomes real to us, and our anxiety level goes up, our faces are flush, and we feel like we need to go and say it. And everything that we're thinking in our heart will never come to pass. But King David, he had a temper. And this is what this is what Solomon said about that. He said, "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." Unchecked words can destroy a home. It can destroy a friendship. It can destroy a marriage. It can destroy a workplace environment. It can destroy a small group. It can destroy relationships between you and your kids or family members. And it can destroy a church. All by what we say. A person's entire life can be injured or destroyed by what you say. And by the way, just so that we can be honest here, time does not heal all wounds. Reconciliation does. But time does not. I heard somebody say that this week. "Well, I guess time will take care of that." And I said, "Nope, that is wrong. It'll only make you bitter. It'll only make you worse. And it'll only make the divide even broader." So damaging words absolutely demolishes life. For example, Adolf Hitler's autobiography was 720 pages. 720 pages. He had a lot to say about himself. And for every word on those 720 pages, 125 lives were lost in World War II. Words matter. You may not wreck a city's. You may not wreck civilizations, but you can break hearts and you can ruin reputations by what you say. James goes on to talk about the tongue as a dangerous animal. It is restless and cannot be ruled. That's what James says. Some animals are poisonous. The deceptive thing about poison is that it works slowly and then it kills. How many times has some malicious person injected a bit of poison into the conversation, hoping it would spread and finally get the person he or she wanted to hurt? Just a little bit. Not like completely accusing, not completely destroying, but sowing a little seed of doubt. Throwing a little bit of chum in the water, I always say. It's easy to spot the chum throwers because they always attract sharks. They always attract chaos. They live on it. They can't live without it. Life is meaningless and boring without chum throwers. They seem to get off on talking about half-truths and maligning someone else simply because they don't like them or because of their stance or because of whatever rhetoric there is. It seems that there, in our society, there can be no middle ground. But James is saying, listen, or Solomon says that we are wise if we hold our tongue. We are even killed and minded if we will just stay silent. Think about it. Would you turn a hungry lion loose in your house? No, you wouldn't. Of course not. Our unchecked tongues have the same results. One word, one sentence, one accusation can completely destroy trust, relationships, churches, small groups. The list goes on and on and on. But the good news is James reminds us that animals can be tamed, and so can fire. Fire, when it's put in its proper place, is helpful. But if you're cold in your house and you take wood and you place it on your hardwood floor and you set a fire to it with no ventilation, it's going to smoke up your house and it's going to create chaos because it's not in its proper place. But if you put it in a fireplace, make sure the flue is open, set a fire to that wood, it begins to radiate heat and you can use it for warmth. It is profitable. You can see from it, you can rest in it, you can warm yourself from it because it's in its proper place. A wild animal, when tamed, is no longer a threat, but is now a tool, is an asset to us. And the thing is that the Bible says, James tells us that no man can tame the tongue. That's why it's important that we have the working of the Holy Spirit inside of us to help tame this world of evil that is set up residence in our entire body, which James calls the tongue. I remember when I first became a Christian, swearing just was a natural flow of my expression. It expressed how I felt at the moment. I was like a ninja at it. It was like really good. And I realized that I was hot-headed and I was very short-tempered, had a very short fuse. And I remember one day, I'm telling on myself, and you know, if King David can be transparent, I guess I can too. I remember when I first came to Christ, and my brother and I, we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. We loved each other, but you know how brothers are. And so one day, he liked to take my key to my car, and he would go joyriding all day. He would skip school and go down to the river, go swimming. Savannah was located on Tennessee River, so they went down there a lot. And I remember after basketball practice, I had tried to start my Mustang, and it would not crank. And that's because my brother ran it out of gas. How he got it back into that spot so perfectly without running out of gas so that I could run out of gas, I give him props for that. But at the moment, I was not happy about it. And so there were some friends around me, and my brother came up, and he goes, "Hey, let's go. I'm ready to go home." And so I get in, don't know anything, try to crank it, and my brother starts laughing. And he goes, "I can't believe that I got your car back here without running out of gas." And I just hit the roof. I started hitting the ceiling, beating up my car, just angry. And my brother looks at me, and he goes, he said, "Are you about done beating your car up?" And everybody else was looking at me like, "What are you doing?" And I was expressing myself verbally. My brother said, "Like, did you get saved recently? Did your mouth get saved?" And I'm like, "Man, come on." And so The point of that is that even though I was praying, God, clean me up, right? Sanctification is a process, right? It's not instantaneous. God is continuing to work on us, cleaning us. And even though I tried not to, or I tried to cuss less, right? So I tried to say fewer swears every single day. No, that just couldn't, it just didn't happen. So it wasn't until I started praying, Lord, I'm a bad witness, and I need you to clean my mouth up because I can't do it by myself. And I can't say that I never swore again, but after that incident, I don't recall it because I believe the Holy Spirit enables us to do things that we cannot do on our own. The fight is never yours. The fight is the Lord's. Amen? If you're dealing with a habitual sin in your life, it doesn't have to be the tongue. It can be whatever it is that you're going through. Invite the Holy Spirit into that struggle, into that fight, and He will fight your battles for you. Amen? It's not that we are avoiding the fight, but we're shedding light on the problem in our life, and He is cleaning us up from the inside out. That is the good news. Amen? And so when you tame an animal, you get a worker instead of a destroyer. When you control a fire, you generate power, right? The tongue cannot be tamed by man, but it can be tamed by God. And we need to allow the Lord into our sin and allow Him to clean us up and empower us to be more than conquerors. If God lights the fire and controls it, then the tongue can be a mighty tool for the winning of the lost and then the building up of the church and the building up of the home and the building up of relationships if we allow the Lord to control our tongue. But the thing is, it always goes back to the heart because the Bible says the heart is the wellspring of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, say it with me, speaks. The Bible says that we are to be slow to speak. We are to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But oftentimes we want to be the first to speak. We don't want to listen to anybody else. We want to speak over. We don't want to hear. We just want to speak. And it's not necessarily a tongue issue so much as it is a heart issue. Because it is the wellspring of life. It's what we are made of. It's what we have allowed into our lives, either compromise or consecration. But it's going to come out eventually. And so if the heart is filled with hatred, Satan will light the fire. But if the heart is filled with love, God will light the fire. Amen? My question to you this morning and to you, to those that are watching at home, is this. Who lit the fire in your life this morning? Who has control over your heart? Because whoever has control of your heart has control of your tongue as well. Who lit the fire in your life this morning? Who has control over your heart? I was reading an article this week about the stresses of pastors that are going through this whole COVID thing and how that stress has just gone up exponentially for pastors, not knowing if their congregations are going to come back or... I think this has affected much larger churches more than it has affected smaller churches. Now, I was listening to a pastor. I don't know where he was from. He's definitely from the South somewhere. And he was talking about all of the different things that pastors are going through. It's like he said, do you have any idea? He was talking to congregation. He said, "Do you have any idea how many videos that I get sent on a daily basis? Pastor, did you see this video? Pastor, did you see that video? Pastor, did you see this? Did you see that?" And he said, "I have to say, no, I haven't, because there's not enough time in the day to see them all, to watch them all, right?" He's like, "The other thing that pastors are going through right now is that whatever decision that they make, it's the wrong decision. Do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask?" And there's a civil war within the church of people that want to wear a mask and don't want to wear a mask and all of these different things. And pastors are, I had a pastor call me day before yesterday, and was asking me about what we were going to do and all of these different things. And all, you know, all of the pressures and all the decisions and all the things that are going on in the world today, what you're dealing with, what maybe your job is dealing with, or Dane and I went to the mall yesterday and masks are everywhere and you can't go in a store without a mask on and all these different things. Our city council's meeting on Tuesday and they're going to make a decision about whether or not it should be mandated. And so there's pressures and stress and all of these unknowns are going around, and it's causing upheaval in homes and in jobs and individuals. I get calls and texts, "Pastor, need you to pray for me. I'm really struggling." You know, we're in unprecedented times here, and it's at this moment in our life that we need to have our hearts in check. Because what is in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. Maybe we can hide it with pleasantries for a while. Maybe we can hide it with pious religious words for a while. But what we have hid in our heart will come out in the heat of the moment, and it will reveal who we truly are. So again, my question is, who lit the fire in your life today? Is it your circumstances, or is it the Holy Spirit that is fueling us? I'm going to be honest with you. I feel complete peace, not because I'm a super pastor, a super Christian, but because I have been praying like crazy, asking God for wisdom, asking God for understanding, asking God to help me to walk by faith in His peace. I'm using the power of my tongue to activate the peace of God in my life. And we need to do the same thing. It's so easy to complain and tell God what we don't have and what we wish we had. But it's very, very difficult to thank God for the peace that He is going to give me despite my circumstances. Lord, sometimes I feel like a fool for worshiping You, but I know that it is nourishment for my soul. And in moments like this, it brings me peace that is beyond my understanding. And today I choose to walk in it. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? I want to reread what James said again. He said, "The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by men, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." The power of the tongue has the power to destroy not only others, but ourselves. Has the power to disarm our faith, power to cause us to forget the faithfulness of God in the heat of the moment. We use words like, "God, you never," "God, you always," "You bless somebody else, but you don't." You can finish the sentence. And we get into this place of accusation before God. And maybe our words don't say it, but the way we lived our lives do. Maybe you're here today and you're just on the brink. And you're allowing the out of the abundance of your heart to spring up and to rob you of the peace that God wants to give you. And can I challenge you this week to take a rest from the news? Like, figure it out, you know, get yourself informed, but shut it off. Take a break, maybe from social media. Allow the peace of God to flood your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe some of you spend more time on Facebook than you do in God's book. Maybe we spend more time pinning things than we do dog-earing God's word, allowing it to penetrate within our spirit. Can I challenge you to spend less time throwing out political things and allowing the Lord to restore your soul, to bring peace within your heart, so that the wellspring will be full of that living water that will not be tainted by accusation or the current situation, but that you will be filled with power from on high. Jesus said to his disciples before he left, his last thing that he told his disciples, he said, I want you to go into Jerusalem, and I want you to go into this upper room, and I don't want you to leave there until you have been endued with power from on high. That means they had to get out of what was going on in Jerusalem, because there was a feast about to happen. Preparations were going on called... it just left my brain. Pentecost, thank you. And so the city was abuzz. Preparations were being made, and Jesus said, I want you to go in that upper room, and I don't want you to come down until you have been endued with power from on high. Why did he do that? Because he did not want them to be distracted, because he knew that in that moment when the Holy Spirit would be poured out, he didn't want his disciples distracted by things, by information, by preparation, by crowds. And so they got alone. And the Bible says they were praying and singing together. And all of a sudden there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind that came into that place. And the Bible says that there was tongues of fire that came to rest on each and every one of them. And they were all together in one place, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And it caused a stir. And what happened? The Holy Spirit that came upon the disciples affected Pentecost. And everybody else in that city were drawn to that fire that was rightly placed. And all of a sudden, people were going, what is going on here? I hear them speaking in my language, and I know that they're unlearned, uneducated Jews. What's going on? Maybe some of them are drunk. And then all of a sudden it happened. Peter stood up. And he said, it's not drunkenness. It's only 9 a.m. in the morning. And then he began to speak, and he used what had been imparted into his spirit and into his heart. And out of the wellspring of his heart, he spoke. And as he spoke, 3,000 people came to the knowledge of Jesus, and the church was born that day. And that fire has never gone out. And the disciples from that moment on were speaking words of life, words of life. That fire was properly placed in the wellspring of their heart and was now used to bring life. So Be careful who lights your fire today. Be careful who sets your heart ablaze. Because trust me, it will come out your mouth. And it'll either bring division or it'll bring life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for James's letter. Jesus, thank you for your brother's letter. It teaches us how powerful our words are. It teaches us that out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. And we know that no man can tame their own tongue, but we need, as the disciples needed on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit to come in and change the narrative of our lives. And I ask right now that the Holy Spirit of God would enact and set a fire over each and every believer in this building today. That our hearts would be set ablaze, and that blaze would be spoken out of our mouths and spoken out of the way we live our lives. And so I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit to bring power and understanding to us. I thank you, Father, for your peace. Lord, may you govern over the words that come out of my mouth. If you're struggling today with, maybe it is swearing, maybe you don't have your tongue under control, invite the Holy Spirit of God into that. Because James tells us, no man can tame it. There's not a three-step process you can do that will tame your tongue. And so, Father, I ask that you would give them strength to clean up that area in their life, so that they can use, as the disciples did, their mouths to project the good news. And our county, our city, our country needs good news. And so, Father, help me to be that good news bearer, the bearer of good news. So, Lord, my tongue is yours. My heart is yours. My time is yours. My ears are yours. My mind, I give it over to you, Father. And Lord, as I consecrate myself, as I set myself apart, may you just begin to fill me once again. Fill my heart to overflowing. Words of life over myself first. Words of life, Lord. Would you just put your hand on your chest? Father, I thank you for the peace that you give me today. And I choose to walk in it. Help me, Father, to control my mouth. Help me, Father, to put my mind on you. Help me, Father, to consecrate my heart to you, Lord Jesus. That I may understand your ways, that I may understand your spirit, so that I can dispense peace, so that I can dispense words of life. And so, Father, I thank you for encouraging me. And I choose today to set myself apart to be filled up once again, overflowing. Not just enough, Lord, but overflowing. So, Father, I thank you and I trust you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.